If you don't have at least some sympathy for sports officials, consult your cardiologist immediately. It's not just that refs, umps, and linesmen take heaps of abuse. It's the myths and misconceptions. Fans are rarely so deluded as to suggest that they could match the throwing arm of Peyton Manning, or defend Kobe Bryant, or return Roger Federer's serve. But somehow, every fan with a ticket or a flat-screen television is convinced he could call a game as well as the schmo, or worse, wearing the zebra-striped shirt. This ignores the reality that officials are accurate, uncannily so, in their calls. It ignores the reality that, much like the best athletes, they've devoted years of training to their craft, developed a vast range of skills and experiences, and made it through a seemingly endless winnowing process to get to the highest level. It also ignores the reality that most referees aren't lucky sports fans who are handed a whistle. They tend to be driven and smart and successful in their other careers as well. Consider, for instance, Mike Carey. The son of a San Diego doctor, Carey was a college football player of some distinction until his senior year when he injured his foot in a game. Any ambitions of playing in the NFL were shot, but that was okay. He graduated with a degree in biology from Santa Clara University and, an incurable tinkerer, founded a company, Cirrus Innovation, that manufactures skiing and snowboarding accessories. Carey even owns a number of patents, including Cat Tracks, a device that slips over a ski boot to increase traction. In his first year out of college, though, Carey realized that he had a knack for overseeing football games. Part of it was an ability to make the right call, but he also had a referee's intuition, a sixth sense for the rhythm and timing of a game. Plus, he cut a naturally authoritative figure. Just as a pro football player would, he showed devotion to the craft, working his way up from local Pop Warner games to high school to Division I college games to the NFL, where his older brother Don was already working as a back judge. Carey reached the pinnacle of his officiating career when he was selected as referee for Super Bowl 42, the first African-American referee assigned to work the biggest event on the American sports calendar. Don Carey worked as a back judge for Super Bowl 37. Played on February 3, 2008, Super Bowl 42 was a football game that doubled as a four-quarter passion play. Heavily favored and undefeated on the season, the New England Patriots clung to a 14-10 lead over the New York Giants late in the fourth quarter. A defensive stop, and the Patriots would become the first NFL team since the 1972 Miami Dolphins to go through an entire season undefeated, and the first team to go 19-0. As the Giants executed their final drive, with barely more than a minute remaining, they were consigned to third down and five from their own 44-yard line. Eli Manning, the Giants quarterback, took the snap and scrambled and slalomed in the face of a fierce Patriots pass rush, as if inventing a new dance step. He ducked, jived, spun, and barely escaped the clutches of New England's defensive line, displaying the footwork of Arthur Murray and the cool of Arthur Fonzarelli. Finally, in one fluid motion, Manning adjusted, planted a foot, squared himself, and slung the ball to the middle of the field. His target was David Tyree. It was surprising to many that Tyree was even on the field. Usually a special teams player, he had caught only four passes all season and dropped a half dozen balls during the Friday practice before the game. "Forget about it," Manning had said to him consolingly. "You're a gamer." Compounding matters, Tyree was defended by Rodney Harrison, New England's superb all-pro strong safety. As Manning scrambled, Tyree, who had run a post pattern, stopped and then loitered in the middle of the field, realizing that his quarterback was still looking for an open receiver. As the ball approached, Tyree jumped, reaching back until he was nearly parallel to the field. With one hand, he snatched the ball and pinned it against his helmet. Somehow, he held onto it for a 32-yard gain. Instead of a sack and a fourth down, Tyree and Manning had combined for an impossible Velcro catch that put the Giants on the Patriots' 24-yard line. Tyree would never catch another pass in the NFL, but it was a hell of a curtain call. Four plays later, Manning would throw a short touchdown pass to Plaxico Burress, and the Giants would pull off one of the great sports upsets, winning Super Bowl 42, 17-14. It was the Tyree pass that everyone remembers, no less than Steve Sable, the president of NFL Films and the sport's preeminent historian, called it the greatest play in Super Bowl history. The play was extraordinary, no doubt about it, but the officiating on it was quite ordinary. That is, the men in the striped uniforms and white caps did what they usually do at a crucial juncture. They declined to make what, to some, seemed like an obvious call. Spark up YouTube and watch the Tyree play again, paying close attention to what happens in the backfield. Before Manning makes his great escape, he is all but bear-hugged by a cluster of Patriots defenders, Richard Seymour and Adalius Thomas in particular, who had grasped fistfuls of the right side of his number 10 jersey. Manning's progress appeared to be stopped. Quarterbacks in far less peril have been determined to be in the grasp, a determination made to protect quarterbacks that awards the defense with a sack when players grab, as opposed to actually tackling, the quarterback. To that point, Mike Carey was having the game of his life. Everything had broken right. He had worked the Patriots-Giants game in the final week of the regular season, several weeks earlier, and so he had an especially well-honed sense for the two teams. "Just like athletes and teams, we were in the zone that night," he says, "both individually and as a crew."